Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
So I want to talk about that this afternoon now. The new uprising. I have a scripture in Isaiah 60. This is a scripture that I get to a lot in my life, but it's come back again strong. And it's this: arise, shine. I love that. Those two words alone are so powerful. If that was written in an Aussie Bible, it wouldn't say arise, shine. It would say get up and strut your stuff, like a Richmond supporter at present. Get some attitude about you. I think the church and Christians have been far too sort of, you know, timid, shy, reserved, backing away from the badness and everything else. And God's saying here, there's coming a time. When God wrote this to Israel and Jerusalem, they were in a bad shape. Wickedness prevailed. And it was dominant everywhere. And God said, hey, listen, I promise you this. As truly as I live, there'll come a time when all the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. And you, my people, will become the joy of the whole earth, center of the action, and you'll be the head, not the tail. Then the prophet writes this. And if you read Isaiah 60, it's the most phenomenal promise of a turnaround and a day of absolute amazing breakthrough and dominance. And it's not only for Israel, I believe it's for the church in the last days. Because if you read this, it says, arise, shine, your light has come. So there is a time in history when the light of God shines in a whole different measure, whole different way. And the glorious light of the Lord has increased upon you. That, I believe, is happening on planet Earth now. The kingdom of God is coming closer, and the glorious light of God is increasing upon his people. Not just church buildings and, you know, we've got a few nights. No, upon the people of God. That's very important. And it's increasing in magnitude, etc. But I have to do something in a season when God's light increases. I have to intentionally choose to arise into that light so it can shine in and through me. You can sit right through a move of God and still be religious. Sit in church and say, what the heck is that all about? If you don't choose personally to arise and shine. If you read the second verse, which we haven't got, it says, arise, shine, your light has come. The glory of the Lord is increasing upon you, my people. Then it goes into verse 2, and the darkness shall cover the earth, even deep and gross darkness the people. The two are in conflict together. The two are present at the same time. Gross darkness of wickedness and glorious light of righteousness. They're both on the planet at the same time. So many people say, oh, the world's getting worse and it's getting blacker. Yes, it is. That's what the Bible says will happen. You see, there's a difference. You've got to get this, church. There's a difference between the darkness of sin, where sinners walk in blindness and stumble in the darkness of sin. They've never received the light. And there's a difference between the darkness of sin and the gross darkness of wickedness. And the Bible says there will be times and seasons on planet Earth when hell itself spews out gross darkness, which is the vilest of wickedness. You've got to be honest, on planet Earth now, you see things, and because we've got connectedness, we can, you know, almost see instant news. You see things that you never expected to have to be confronted with on planet Earth. Now they're legislating that which is wickedness to become a part of society. And you can, etc. Well, you've got to understand, in those seasons, you need more light than you had 20 years ago. It's no good putting your head in the sand or backing up into a little cave and saying, whoa, this is getting bad. There's gross darkness out there. God says, no, I've got an answer for that. When you see that, you arise into my glorious light and shine, and the light will dispel the darkness. It's not whether you vote yes or no for some legislation to legitimize wickedness. It's not whether you vote yes or no because you... It's not about that. You can fight darkness until you blind yourself. You have to arise into the light and shine. Now, this is very important because a lot of people think, oh, I go to church for an hour and a half on a Sunday. You know, that must be all there is to it. No, you have to learn personally how every day to arise into the light of God and shine for yourself. Otherwise, you'll never change your world. And you'll still be going to conferences and church on a Sunday and saying, boy, the world's getting bad. We are the answer to a broken world. There is no answer. We're never going to change the world by having another super duper conference. I love conferences. We're going to change the world by you learning to rise and shine in the light of God. Thank you for those 50% of those people that clapped. I really feel the love. So here's the deal, and this is very important. If we're going to challenge you today, you need to rise and shine into the light. You need to understand what light you need to rise into. And a whole lot of people don't know what light they should rise into. That's why they never get involved in church to any deep way. They don't really understand the light. And this is very important. From God, there are three things emanating from God to you continually, nonstop, 24/7. Three things flow from God to us. They are eternal light, eternal life, and eternal love. Eternal light, eternal life, and eternal love. They're very important, but they are totally different to created. They're different to created light, life, and love. Totally different. So many people think when I stir you up, come on, rise into the light. You've been taught to rise into created light. Created life, created love. They're totally different. For example, created life. When my son Andrew at 27 died of cancer back in 2003, people said, how did you get through that? How'd you handle that? And you have a whole lot of attempts at trying to explain it. But after a while, you come down to a simple explanation. Andrew died of created life, but he lives with eternal life. They're totally different. So we'll see him again, because eternal life is different to created life. When Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life, and that more abundantly, that didn't mean a better house and a new car. I'm come that you might have eternal life, to which there is no limit. Whole lot of people say, God bless me, and I want to get a new push bike. Well, that's created life. He says, no, I want you to learn how to live with eternal life. It's a whole different ball game. And if you do that, all these other things will be added to you anyway. Same with created love and eternal love. Created love says, I'll love you if you love me. Then people say to me, Pastor Steve, I can't forgive that person for what they've done to me. And I say to them back, I wouldn't forgive them. I wouldn't be able to forgive them. I'd want to kill them. They didn't expect that answer. But the truth is this, you can't forgive with created love. You need eternal love. See, for God so loved, he forgave, paid the price and set us free while we still hated him. Hear what I'm saying? So if you want to forgive and live free, you need eternal love. Well, the same is true of eternal light and created light. See, here today in this place with the lights that are on, I can see with created light, the sun, the moon, the stars, and this created light, I can see your humanity. Isn't that true? We can see each other. Secondly, with created light can also be enlightenment in your mind. Oh, I understand humanity. That's enlightenment with created knowledge, created light. God says there's a wisdom or a light that comes from above. That's eternal light, revelation that's different. You can read the Bible with created light. Oh, I can read it. Or you can read it with eternal light and see revelation, and that brings life. So it's very important. And the third thing about created light, I can see your humanity. I understand with enlightenment our created realm. The third thing about created light is that most of religion is created light. It's mankind trying to please a religious God. So most of the rules and regulations that we have are created light rules and regulations. And they end up, religion focuses on your humanity. You better try and live better. You've stuffed up. We're going to have to, you know, watch you and make sure, you know, et cetera. We'll give you a second chance. Well, God doesn't give second chances. He gives new beginnings. Totally different. It's incredible. And so religious light always shines on your flaws and your failings. That's religious created light. Whereas eternal light doesn't shine on created things, doesn't shine on your humanity. That's why God says, arise, shine into the glorious light. It's eternal light. It's not created light. It's not religious light. Eternal light doesn't shine on created things. You got to get this, because the reason so many people really don't buy into God is because they think they have to rise into this religious light. They've already been trying hard enough to bring their flawed vessel under control. And they say, well, if I get too close, they'll know who I am. They'll know I'm flawed humanity. We already know that. But created light doesn't do that. Eternal light doesn't shine on created things. Do you know that eternal light does not reveal skin color? I love that. Do you know that eternal light, even better, doesn't reveal body shape? Well, there's a good news word. Do you know that eternal light doesn't reveal male or female? In God, He doesn't care. Religion does. But God's light, the only thing eternal light shines on is something that's eternal. It doesn't shine on creation. Sun, moon, and stars were given for that. It only shines on eternal things. What's the only eternal thing you have? Christ, Jesus, the divine one, the eternal one, He lives in you. That's why the Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory, the hope of glorious light. And so when God's light comes, it only shines on what's eternal in you. And I want to talk about it shining on two things in our life. If God says arise and shine, religion says don't get too close to the light, it'll reveal all your flaws and your failings. And so people don't want to. You know, I want to go to heaven, but gee, I don't want to be under the microscope all the time. Well, eternal light does not shine on your flaws and your failings. How many of you know that this earthen vessel of mine, in which the glory of God resides in Christ, this earthen vessel is flawed and has failures and fault lines, as do you. And so the light doesn't shine on that. It shines on Christ within me. We're all, for want of a better phrase, we're all crackpots. Don't look at the person next to you, but they are flawed. They are, if they define the term crackpot. I love this. This is probably the word for the church today, because if we're going to change our world, it's not going to be through another conference. It's going to be through you learning how to rise and shine. as a flawed individual, as a crackpot. You see, I find for me, religion says you better polish the pot. You better try and, you know, cover the cracks and make it, you got to get a bit better. Well, the truth is we know we've been trying to do that. I find for me, the miracle of new birth, Christianity, Christ in me, is that he shines his glory through my cracks. Wow. So I can arise and shine even though I'm not perfect, even though I'm still a crackpot. The truth is your family know you're an idiot. They already know that. But when you start to rise by faith and shine, they say, he's just one of us, but there's something about him. Your neighbors do the same. The new car doesn't impress them. The new house, the bigger boat, that doesn't impress them. What impresses them is that you're a pretty average person that has a supernatural, beyond average conviction. Something about you. They know that. And so God's light reveals a number of things. We'll talk about two this morning. Then I'm going to do the second half of this message out at East this afternoon at 4 o'clock and try and bring it all together. But there's two things this morning we'll talk about rising into this eternal light, glorious light that shines within us even though we're flawed. The first one is God's light reveals Christ in you. That's all that it can shine on. That's all it can shine on. It doesn't shine on you and your possessions and your smart and what. No, it shines on the eternal one in you. When you get this, that's where your focus starts to turn to. Have a look at this scripture in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4:6. It says this, for it is God who commanded, that's a pretty strong word. He's not on the back foot because gross darkness is on the planet. He's not taken by surprise. He says, when that happens, I'll command glorious light. For it is God who's commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, where? In the face of Jesus Christ. So every morning when you get up, God wants you to rise into the light, which means I rise to look for the face of Jesus, which is I get up every morning looking for Christ at work in me. Every morning I get up. When you go to the mirror, what do you look for? Every morning I go to the mirror. I always give God thanks. Good job. That's not because I look at Steve Penny and, you know, this incredible body. It's not because of that. Every day I go to the mirror and I look for the work of Jesus in me. See, I'm one day closer to perfection. I'll never get there until glory, but I'm one day closer. See, many of you get up and look in the mirror and you see all the wrinkles and, you know, the extra kilos and all the scars and everything, and you look at the wrong thing. See, you got to practice looking for Christ at work in your life. This is how you'll make a difference in your street, your family, your community. You get up. I don't look and see struggling Steve when I look in the mirror. I could look at that because I'm not perfect. I'm a flawed vessel. But I look for the face of Jesus at work in me. So I don't see struggling Steve. I look and I see Saint Stephen. It's got a nice ring to it. What's your name? David doesn't have the same sound. Saint Stephen. You hear what I'm saying? Some of you have got to start to look for Jesus at work in your life and stop seeing every mistake and every error. You'll never rise into all that God has for, and you'll never change your world if you can't see Christ at work in you. Quickly, put the next thing up. When God looks at you, what does he see? This is the point. God shines his light. All God sees in you is the face of his son, Jesus. No wonder he loves you. He doesn't love you because you're an Aussie or male or female. You're just a tiny speck of dust in some remote little galaxy. He loves you because he put his eternal spirit in humanity. There's a part of heaven. And when you come alive in God because of Jesus, he looks at you and sees Jesus Christ in you. He says, whoa, I love that one. When God looks at you, he sees the face of Jesus. But when you look at you, this is the important one. What do you see? I see struggling Steve. I see that I've been a victim. I see that my life's not fair. I see that, you know, stuff's tough in my world. Well, you better choose to see the face of Jesus. Because if you don't see the face of Jesus in you, when other people look at you, they won't see the face of Jesus either. Because you'll be whinging, moaning, complaining. You'll never change your world. And you'll never rise and shine. And worse still, if you don't see the face of Jesus at work in you, others won't see it. And when you look at others, you won't see Christ at work in them. When you look at your mother-in-law, what do you see? The face of evil? Depends what you see when you look at yourself. I've got bad neighbors all around me. No, that's because you see yourself as struggling Steve. And everyone's against you. But if you see Christ at work in you, you can see Christ at work in the vilest of sinners and pray for them and love them and bring them into the kingdom of heaven because you see Christ at work in you. The second thing, when the light shines, it reveals Christ at work in you. I love that. Don't you ever go a day without seeing Christ at work in you. The second thing is God's light also reveals your righteousness. You got to get this because the devil lies continually about who you are and your standing in God. Have a look at this scripture, Psalm 37 verse 6. He shall bring forth your righteousness with his glorious light. He'll bring forth your righteousness as the light, or with his light. So when the light of God shines, and it is coming in an increasing measure, because we need a greater measure to dispel gross darkness, it doesn't reveal your flaws, your weaknesses, your past, whatever. It reveals Christ in you, and it causes you to rise up in your righteousness. The light always does that, reveals the righteousness of Christ in you. I remember, I grew up in church. My dad was a preacher. And when we were young, you know, sort of early, well, all my youth years, but I can remember sort of early teens, church was very legalistic years ago, very religious, a lot of created light, rules, regulations, rituals, whatever. And I grew up in that. And every meeting would always be the same. Every meeting. They'd talk of the Holy Spirit's moving. I'd get a look about them that frightened hell out of me. He's here now! Ah. I always put an ah on the end. God! I thought he's going to have a hernia. Anyway, I'm a teenager and they're going on like this. Spirits, the light of God is here. It always focuses on our flawed humanity, religious light. If you sit under a preacher like that, get out. He's preaching out of his own inadequacies instead of learning how to be righteous. And they go on, the Holy Spirit's moving, searching the depths of your heart. I sort of feel it's over this side. Here! And we'd all be, all the young teenagers, we used to sit almost down the back in those days because of this preaching. And we'd be sitting there and they'd start. And the Spirit of God shining on all those dirty thoughts. And I'd shrink back because I'd had some. You know. And all that those bad words you've said. And I'd be down the back saying, damn, I shouldn't have said those words. And so the only way we could get out of church like this, and it was every service, I called them dust bowl altar calls. Any fool preacher, I shouldn't use those words together, but I feel prophetic. Any fool preacher can fill an altar call preaching to your flawed humanity, because we all know that. If we're honest, I could get every one of you out the front weeping in brokenness over the fact you're not perfect. It's dumb. No wonder the church is ineffective, preaching to our flawed humanity instead of helping people rise up in righteousness. You are righteous. All you need to do is rise up and shine. And I'm putting to death this dust bowl preaching of flawed humanity. The only way we could get out of those services when they do this, we'd be sitting down the back. You have to have a fall guy next to you. And when they really zero in on these sins, you have to go hard. He's talking to you. Get down the front. And see, this poor stooge would run down the front and grovel in his brokenness, and we'd go out for pizza. It works brilliantly. Quickly, you're getting me off track. Here's the deal with glorious light, eternal light. And I've struggled with this. God's light will always focus on your call, not your fall. Every preacher should help you rise up into your call, not preach you down into your fall. That's bad preaching. It's religious light. It's not God's glorious light. It's brilliant. So, quickly, I got to get to the point, whichever one it is. We had this, we were going through all this, and I got into sort of youth ministry, late teens, early 20s, and I was exactly that. I was struggling between my call to serve God and my fall, my flawed humanity, which we all do, especially when we're young. Our juices are stronger than our brains. Anyway, that's another thought. And so I'm struggling with all this. We had a singer come to our Australia and go through our church, and he sang a song that got into me, my spirit, my brain. Here's the words of it. I am the righteousness of God in Christ, a brand new creation in Him. I'm a partaker of His divine nature. In me, He will not impute or add up my sins. This got into my brain and went over and over and over, and it literally changed my life. I either believe that or I may as well give up Christianity. I'm either born again, changed, new creation, or I'm simply a sinner trying to live a better life. And it got into me and changed me forever, and I've never ever looked back since then. In my church, I took over a broken church on the Sunshine Coast in 1999, I handed it over in 2009, 10 years later. I've been traveling ever since around the nations. But in 1999, I took over this little broken church on the Sunshine Coast, and it grew very quickly. And so we outgrew the funny little building we had, and we had to go into a big university thing. It was quite big. Seated a couple of thousand on a flat floor, and they had a dividing wall. So we had sort of this size divided off as the foyer, and then inside that much again or more as the auditorium. And a family joined us early on in our journey, and he was a big, tall Texan guy. Big, tall guy. And he wore a Texan hat to church, Texan boots, Texan belt, and he looked stupid on the Sunshine Coast. They come in board shorts. And so he looked dumb, but he was a really nice guy and was a good part of our church. But when I first met him, I used to have to come in the back door and go through this one into the auditorium, and I'd walk across, get to him, and I'd say, good morning, how are you? And the first time he said this, I thought he was mad. Good morning, how are you? Well, I'm just a poor sinner boy. Took me by surprise. And then every Sunday, good morning, good to see you. How are you? I'm just a poor sinner boy. And this went on for maybe a couple of months or more. I don't know why I let it go on that long, except I think I'm loving, gracious, kind, and gentle. But that's another story. Anyway, so I let it go on for a couple of months. And then one morning, one Sunday morning, I don't know what made me do it, but I walked up to him. Good morning, how are you? Great to see you. How are you going? Well, I'm just a poor... Have you ever said something without thinking? I have occasionally. Anyway, so he's in the middle of, I'm just a poor... And I don't know where it came from, but I said, shut up! Like that. And it frightened me. I thought, where's that come from? I questioned my salvation. Anyway, I know it got to him because his hat lifted. Anyway, we haven't got time for the story. But except for this, we just stood there shocked. So finally I said, we don't pray like that. I don't preach like that. We don't sing like that. You're not going to talk like that. Thank you. I wasn't that proud of the moment because I was... Anyway, but thank you. I'll take that as an encouragement. Anyway, so after that, we're both looking at each other. I have no idea what to... I storm off. I left that church on the sunny coast in 2009, went travelling. About 2 or 3 years ago, I went back. I preached there every month next year. And I was there for a Sunday morning. I was down the front here talking to the young campus pastor. He was with me. He had been 15 when I took over the church. He's now the campus pastor there. And we're talking together and just about what's going to happen or anything. And I look up and I see the Texan hat coming toward me. So we just go talking, and he's coming quite swiftly. And he gets down to about here and he yells out to me, I want to talk to you. And as he says that, he dives his hand under his coat. And I thought, no, he hasn't forgiven me. He's going for a gun. So I put the campus pastor in front of me. No, we can find another campus pastor. So he pulls his hand out, and in his hand is a wad of notes, $10,000. No, I counted it. $10,000. And so I saw this. So I quickly got the campus pastor out the road. So he gave me this money. And he said, Pastor Steve, I just want to thank you. When you said shut up, I every church I go to now, I say, shut up. You never know what it'll do. So he said, when you said shut up, I went home angry. And then I realized I needed to change. And I didn't know how to, but over time, God's helped me. I want to be one of those that rises up in righteousness. I don't want to just come to church. I want to be the change in our world. How cool is that? Last thing I want to share with you. I've got 7 grandkids. That's why I travel a lot. I got 7 grandkids, and one of them's about 3 and a half, 4, a little boy, and he doesn't talk properly. You kids want an ice cream? Me want ice cream. I said,